You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for December 30th, 2016. It's not safe for work, and it's not a best of show.
No, it's not, because we're recorded live at the open bar at the Drain the Swamp inaugural ball. It's the Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal. Happy New Year, everybody. A long year. This year was 3 years long.
It was. And next year might even be longer. We don't know yet.
It might be. And we're going to be changing the format a little bit next year.
We are?
We're going to a radio mystery format. inspired by Johnny Dollar, The Adventures of Johnny Dollar.
That's right.
And Dr. Six Gun on Vintage Radio. We've decided to reinvent ourselves as The Adventures of the Cornfield Resistance, which will be brought to you by McGuffin's Muffins. MacGuffin's Muffins, building strong plot points 12 ways.
We took a little trip this week.
Just
the two of us overnight. One of our podcast listeners gave us a gift card to a restaurant that is not here in Springfield. So we had to go out of town to go to this upscale chain restaurant.
It was a Pizza Hut. Go ahead, tell me it was a Pizza Hut.
We had a wonderful time. We went and we spent the night in another city, and we went and had a very rich dinner and a lovely time. Thank you so much for that gift. But on the way down, down and over, we listened to Sirius XM's mystery radio. Well, it's the old-time radio. They only have one station there.
Which is a shame.
The shows from, all the way up into the 80s. There was a Lorne Green Western from the 1980s, which was pretty impressive. Driftglass just got this idea of, oh, forget it. We're not going to do political podcasting anymore. We're going to do Adventures of the Cornfield Resistance.
Yeah, and the tall man.
Mr. Big Bucks is actually Cheeto Mussolini, right? You find out in the end.
It fits the plots really well.
It does. It does.
Especially
the writing of this, by the way, they did talk a little bit. There's always on the back of end of these shows a little history of who wrote them and why and so forth. And you find out that the guy who did the Western was also doing science fiction and also doing romance. And also it's like, what do you need this week, you know?
Right.
And he could type a 20-minute beginning, middle, and end with commercials in between, hack writing, just get it out there and share plots and revise old shows with new characters. And, it's just hack writing, but it's entertaining.
It's not hack in the bad sense. Hack it out, a penny
Shut
a word,
out.
Get
exactly.
it done. Pay the rent, move on to the next writing assignment, which is the way a lot of writers used to actually make a living. Ed Sturgeon lived on, I believe, rather well on the two short stories he sold to Playboy every year and a couple of novels. Kurt Vonnegut did the same thing.
Yeah.
There used to be a way for writers to make a living.
Well, and Playboy paid really, really well for a story. Yeah.
Well, we also listened to The Adventures of Sam Spade.
Oh, we did. Yes.
And noticed that basically that plot, which is the depraved millionaire or wealthy person with the corrupt children and the whole system is corrupt. That was our sponsor, the owner of MacGuffin's Muffins. That's MacGuffin's Muffins, building strong plot points 12 ways.
Okay.
And there's all sketchy stuff going on. And you can't really trust anybody.
Yeah.
Really, really well into the plot points that are going to be going forward in our national narrative.
Absolutely.
For the next few years. So we figured go whole hog, radio mystery. I can write. My wife is an excellent writer. We can crank these out and just do that instead of this.
No, I don't think we're going to do that instead of this. Although now we've got some hefty competition.
We do.
We want to welcome to the podcast world a new podcast that we haven't listened to yet. I just haven't had time.
Right.
But I know about it. It's called the 451, as in Fahrenheit 451. But this is called the 451. And we are not going to, like I said, I haven't listened to this yet. So it's an hour long podcast. I don't know how often they're going to do it. But we found out about it because after one episode, they have a write up in Fast Company magazine.
That's right.
Which we both found really amusing because we've done 368 episodes and we haven't had one write up in Fast Company magazine. So,
or the local disposable paper or in really anywhere.
No.
So
nowhere. No. So, but this is a podcast. The thing that I will say irked me, and actually the author of the tweet wrote me back and apologized because someone tweeted something to the effect of, finally, a new podcast for the resistance. The first podcast of the Trump resistance.
Thank God. Yes.
And I wrote him back and went, you know, hello.
You know, the resistance, as you call it, has been going on for a very long
time. Very long time. And, you know, it's like the Bush years never happened if you're 21 years old, right? So
that's my new opening line for earnest but wide-eyed celebrity reporters or celebrity folks who are just incensed and outraged. It's like, you know, you're probably too young to remember George W. Bush. Because apparently you are, because that never happened.
Or Nixon.
Or Nixon. You know, well, I get that. Nixon's a little, Nixon's in black and white.
Yeah, yeah.
But George W. Bush was in digital living color.
Yeah.
You know, George W. Bush was.
People were blogging through the Bush years. That's the point. You know, it is post-internet. You can Google videos of George W. Bush. He's on YouTube.
But the idea that the Bush administration simply never happened or simply is never mentioned or simply is never factored into any conversation about anything.
They win if, you know, Brooklyn millennials don't want to talk about that because that's the past. You know, that's not as urgent and singular as a Trump presidency. Right. Whereas I agree to a great extent that Trump is a different creature altogether.
Yes.
In terms of being truly mentally unbalanced. But also the tweeting. I mean, that's a symptom of that. But the sense of having zero accountability to anybody but himself is dangerous, really dangerous.
And just a bottomless pit of grievances and pettiness and ignorance, just bone deep. Voluntary, aggressive ignorance about everything and getting your news out of a garbage pail.
Right, right. The leader of the free world, former free world, getting... I don't even know where to begin with that part.
That's a difference in categorical difference, but it's not unexpected.
Right.
You know, the trend lines that began 40 years ago have all converged.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. All the things that liberals have been screaming about since I can remember, which is there is no liberal media. Conservatives are being lied to constantly. They're beginning to accept lies as the truth. They're beginning to actively deny reality when it's inconvenient. They're voting for people who lie to them. They're shutting out anyone in the media. The media is making a colossally fucking terrible mistake by trying to accommodate them, by trying to say, well, you know, Earth, flat around, you know, opinions differ. You're trying to treat them as customers instead of as citizens. And you're trying to appease them by saying, well, maybe there is a point to your incredibly stupid racist opinions.
And Driftglass, before we move off onto that tangent with all of our energy, let's just say welcome aboard the 451 podcast.
Yes.
They are on Twitter at the_451, the number 451. And they are on SoundCloud. And like I said, I haven't listened to them yet, but they're good liberals. Summer Brennan is the woman who is one of the podcasters, and she is a author, journalist, and former UN worker. So I'm sure her heart is absolutely in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
And we do welcome aboard anyone who wants to work in this kind of venue. It is, you are needed, and we're glad to have you. And we certainly hope that our listeners will check you out and let you know that they found out about you at the Professional Left podcast, which has been around since 2010.
Right. Okay. We meet this in goodwill in the following way.
Yeah.
A few years ago, a bunch of my listeners, a bunch of my readers started popping over to my site saying, there's this guy named Charlie Pierce who's writing about a lot of the shit you've been writing about. And he sounds a lot like you, identical.
Like a lot.
He's writing about David Brooks and the Sunday shows and Andrew Sullivan and basically all the shit you've been writing about forever. and that's fine.
He's getting paid to do it.
But he's actually getting paid to do it, and he should. He's a very good writer. He's been a good writer for a very long time. He's written books. He's awesome. But B, a lot of his, you know, he gets 120 comments for every one you get. And most of those comments are, finally, someone's finally taking on David Brooks. Oh, my God.
And then a few of us went over there and left a message for him of, hey, Charlie, copying Driftglass is no way to go through life, son.
He didn't know any better.
And he came over to your blog, whether he had before and lifted some things or not, is unclear. Came over to your blog, read it, and was very gracious, and totally gracious.
Yeah, he was.
And said, you know, I am only walking the path that you have cleared for me.
Right.
And he links to you. He links to your fundraisers.
Yeah.
He links to Crooks and Liars. He thanks Crooks and Liars writers for their work. He's not being a jerk about it at all. And his contribution to the conversation is really, really welcome.
Yeah.
It is funny to see commenters say, at last, someone is calling out these monsters. I thought no one thought the way I did.
Oh, Charlie, because you do a regular Sunday morning review of these things, because every day, you know, they're just awful. And then suddenly and again, I give him all credit. He's on the Stephanie Miller show every Tuesday or Wednesday talking about those darn Sunday shows.
Yeah.
And that's great, except, you know, some of us have been doing that for much, much longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And stylistically, nearly identical. We come from the same prose background. We use the same cultural metaphors.
Yeah.
He skews towards sports. I skew towards science fiction. But all that being said, it's welcome to the fight, and we're happy to have you.
Yes.
And there are many, many brothers and sisters you have out here who you might not know about.
Right. Right.
So go looking for them, and we'll help you find them.
We are always happy to lift up those who are new, who need a promotion. If you're doing a podcast, we've done this before with The Bill Show, which is a bunch of expats out in Australia who are great friends of ours. And, you know, there is just lots of room at the party for you to join us. And if you're starting something new or if you want advice on something, I usually have time to write back to folks.
And a little advice, if you're going to get into political podcasting or vlogging, do it over the Christmas weekend.
Okay.
Because as a metaphor for everything that's sort of wrong about liberal media or broken or malfunctioning, Christmas weekend, just sort of the extended period of Christmas weekend, was a perfect metaphor.
It really was. You want to talk about that? Yeah.
The left just sort of, you know, turned it off. We turned off the transmitters. We turned off the cameras and went on vacation, which is fine.
Basically, MSNBC took the entire weekend off. MSNBC did have daytime programming over the weekend, but no nighttime programming. Most liberal podcasts took the entire week off, and Fox News was on for the entire weekend live, having people like John Bolton and Newt Gingrich and everyone on to talk about Obama's weak leadership and food stamps being a bunch of cheaters and Obamacare destroying people's lives and on and on, and just keeping up that propaganda nonstop all the time. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you turn to MSNBC, you got lockup. Which teaches you a whole bunch of things about race and class and your really important lessons about
and the business model at MSNBC and how they make money at MSNBC.
Right.
Because that's their moneymaker.
Exactly.
But when I flip open my TuneIn application on my little iPhone, my 7-year-old donated iPhone, which works great as a radio, I see the Stephanie Miller show over and over and over again. Best of. That's all I go through the 12 stations that carry liberal, that stream liberal stuff or more. And it's all syndicated. It's all one show. It's all syndicated one show. And when that person is away, it's all best of all week long. And I don't begrudge them at all. I don't begrudge Stephanie Miller's great. She does a wonderful job. I don't begrudge her anything. It is this idea that the left keeps showing up at the fight with a ham radio and a couple of canteens of water and a really feisty attitude. And across the field from us is a row of tanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, well, maybe if we just were cleverer than this. And behind that row of tanks are people who don't listen to us, who don't listen to reason anymore, who aren't interested in discussing anything with us at all, who are interested in just rolling across the field And there's a very interesting article by Jay Rosen. It's an article called Winter is Coming. Mm-hmm. And he sort of details the rapid escalation, and I'm quoting him now, of this drive to discredit as Trump gained traction with the electorate. And it's been going on since the 70s. Mm-hmm. But it started with Nixon and Agnew and escalated through Fox News and Rush Limbaugh. And now it's a place beyond that. He says, Sean Hannity, who is probably closer to Trump than any other media figure, recently said on air that until members of the media come clean about colluding with the Clinton campaign and admit that they knowingly broke every ethical standard they were supposed to uphold, they should not have the privilege, they should not have the responsibility of covering the president on behalf of you, the American people.
Ah.
In other words, the mainstream press should not be allowed to cover Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And this is of a piece.
Yep.
Just before that, there's an article in the New York Times, and we'll link to that, about fake news gobbling up the conservative media. And they have a John Ziegler, who's a conservative radio host, who said, and I quote, over the years, we have effectively brainwashed the core of our audience to distrust anything that they disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's gone too far. Oh, no, it's gone too far.
Yeah.
Because the gatekeepers have lost all credibility in the minds of the consumers. I don't see how you reverse it.
Mm-hmm.
The thing
mm-hmm.
is, I know how to reverse it. You spend what they spend. You pile up the resources they pile up. You fight back with the same tools they use. And you push back harder. But there are no liberals of means on our side of the equation who are remotely interested in doing that.
Right.
So
and they are interested in helping refugees and sure. saving AIDS patients in Africa yep. and doing lots of other things that are essential to saving the world. So I don't want to shit on them for what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like our friend Batocchio said, Team Evil pays well.
They do.
And Rick Perlstein was on last night on Chris Hayes and said that he was talking about Donald Trump versus Nixon. And what are the things that are the same and what are the things that are different? And they're the two men's hatred for the mainstream press. Their sort of hole where their soul should be in terms of needing to overcompensate for all of the slights that they feel they have been dealt in mm-hmm. life of not being the same class of people as the people that cover them. And so the desire to punish for that. But, you know, the immediacy of Trump and Twitter is just off the scale. And Nixon was too secretive to have ever
right.
done that. You know, his idea was to go behind the scenes and destroy people and find out who the Jews were and get the IRS to audit them. You know, I mean, that right. was sort of his MO. So, and who knows what will happen with Donald Trump in terms of how he will use the powers of the presidency that started with just the ones that started with Bush in terms right. of surveillance
uh-huh.
and were to and we need to acknowledge this, that were continued by Obama.
Right. To his shame. Yes.
To his shame. And that, you know, that now they're going to be in the hands of Donald Trump. So Rick Perlstein, though, said something that really struck me about media that really wanted me. It made me want to cut my wrists, really, because I just like, oh, no, this is terrible. The spying apparatus that a president has at his disposal, created by Bush but continued by Obama, was called turnkey totalitarianism by William Binney, the whistleblower of the NSA. Basically, once Trump can find out anything his enemies are up to and find out where their vulnerabilities are, maybe find embarrassing things about them, leak them to Breitbart,
right.
and soon it's on CNN.
Yep.
And God forbid, MSNBC. And, you know, and that's when Chris Hayes wasn't going to respond. Right.
No, he got,
Okay. So let's talk about Nixon again. You know, it's like
a little sweat on the brow there.
Right. Because even though Rick Perlstein is a personal friend, face to face friend of ours and a friend of Chris Hayes and, you know, 6 degrees of Rick Perlstein, you know, you start bringing up home turf stuff. But it is true. There is now an avenue from the White House to Breitbart as state run media, because the former head of Breitbart is in the White House.
Right.
And it is sort of, to me, the circle closing from Nixon to Trump, which is Nixon had Roger Ailes.
Yes, he did.
And Roger Ailes went away from the Nixon administration, started Trump News. Trump News. Fox News.
Yep.
Roger Ailes starts Fox News. We get fake news from 1996 onward, which is pure Republican propaganda. We all know it's Bullshit Mountain. We all know they lie. Everyone in Washington, D.C. in the press corps knows they're a bunch of liars.
Right.
And never says anything. And like you have said over and over again, Driftglass, the enemy isn't just Fox News. It's all of those who sit there silently while they pretend to be a news organization.
Right.
And so then now we've come full circle. Back into the White House comes the ultimate fake news website. Andrew Breitbart's, flagship blog comes in, is at the right hand of the President of the United States. And as soon as it's covered on Breitbart, CNN is going to pick it up.
Yeah, Jeff Zucker.
Jeff Zucker is not going to leave something.
Donald Trump's former business
sensational,
partner,
right?
At the man who helped him create The Apprentice.
Yeah.
And who loves him more than, my daughter, my ducats, who loves him more than democracy itself.
Yeah.
Will absolutely carry it as straight news.
Yep.
And
even not as straight news, even as just sensational news that's going to be breaking and get eyeballs and sell those penis pills, because that's what we're all about. Can we beat, the Kardashians tonight? Can we beat the ratings? Can we do it?
Well, and here's, if you read the book, The Loudest Voice in the Room, Roger Ailes almost failed repeatedly.
Yeah.
He tried over and over again to get this, GOP TV started. He did it with Coors money. I believe some Richard Mellon Scaife money.
Absolutely.
He had to get.
Let's face it, he funded all of the anti-Clinton stuff for years and years. Yeah.
But he tried and failed and tried and failed and tried and failed. And the difference is that another crackpot right-wing billionaire was always ready to pony up another $100 million to give it another try. Let's go to New York. Hey, there's a guy named Rupert Murdoch who will fund, this, and he'll start the Weekly Standard, and he'll take over the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal, and. There's always a giant pot of money so that every time they fuck up and fail, every time they fall down, every time – imagine if we had that for Dan Rather.
Yeah.
Imagine if Dan Rather screws up once or twice or three times. It was only once. But instead of cashiering him, they did what Fox News did, which is look at his ratings. Yeah. Fuck you. Look at his ratings. We are backing him to the hilt. Yeah. We're going to back. Imagine if they had. But there's no money in that.
Right.
And I know it sounds petty, but it really is that simple. There is simply no one on the left who's interested in opening up their checkbook and making.
Well, because there's no payback personally to them to do that in terms of tax cuts the benefit, even I can see the argument that the benefit to the world is better to help with $500 million for refugees. It seems selfish to fund liberal media.
Mm-hmm.
Liberal media is just truth. We should just know that the truth will get out there. After all, Hillary Clinton actually won the popular vote, so we don't need to invest in this. But we've lost every state house, and the reason we've lost every state house is Koch brothers' money. It really boils down to that.
Mm-hmm.
And we are one state away from a constitutional convention that will wreak havoc on everything. Look, we need to get a little kitten to the vet today. I'm just going to let everybody know.
Just for her checkup.
For her shots and checkup. Make sure that she is, she's been here now for almost 3 weeks. So anything she brought into the house in terms of disease is well inside the walls. But we want to make sure that she's got her shots and that we're pretty sure she's been fixed. She's a very affectionate little kitten. But she needs to go. She has an appointment with her doctor in an hour. So we're going to talk about some things that we want to talk about and tighten this up a little bit. I want to get, because we've just been talking about Nixon, I do want you to talk about Junior Dude and the Nixon impeachment today, if you would.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Junior Dude and I were talking about sort of the mechanisms of democracy and how things that, when they get really, really broken, how you fix them, how the system can correct itself. And sort of how, I was being historical, but I was also being partisan, how diligent the right has been in methodically destroying every check and balance along the way. The person who fired the special prosecutor was Robert Bork. I mean, these people go way back. They have been involved, deeply involved in this vast conspiracy to turn our country into a Republican fascist state for decades.
Well, and the guy who Rick Perlstein mentioned last night, a guy who was asked by Nixon, and Perlstein didn't have time to get into this in any detail. I went and looked him up. Fred Malik.
Yeah.
He was the guy that Nixon said, go to the Bureau of Labor Statistics and find the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna audit all of the Jews in the Bureau of Labor Statistics, because the Bureau of Labor Statistics was reporting unemployment numbers that Nixon didn't like.
Didn't like those numbers.
Didn't like right. those numbers. Fred Malik, and this is the part that Perlstein didn't mention. Fred Malik said no to Nixon four or five times.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Haldeman came to Malik and said, you have to do this. We're not taking no for an answer.
Uh-huh.
So Malik didn't have any religious records. You don't collect religious records on government employees. So he did write down the ones with Jewish names that were in the Bureau of Labor Statistics and give it to the president.
Mm-hmm.
And he apologized, and he went before Congress and apologized, and it was not he did it under tremendous pressure. He had said no four or five times, and it was just like, no, you have to do this. Fred Malik is now treasurer of the Republican Governors Association at the age of 83 or whatever. Mm-hmm. They never get rid of anybody.
They never offload
someone from the merry-go-round of right-wing power. They just don't.
No.
There's something to be said for that loyalty. As you say, if we were as loyal and said, no, you're not going to fire Dan Rather. You're not going to let go. We're not going to.
Keith Olbermann.
Right. Yeah.
Melissa Harris Perry is not going to go anywhere.
Right.
Without a
right.
big hairy stink being put
right.
out.
Right. Right. But we don't do that.
But the means of expressing ourselves mm-hmm. is the very media that's corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if mm-hmm. you don't control your own message, you know, Hunter Thompson said politics is the art of controlling your environment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you cannot control your own media message because you have no more platforms to get your message out.
Exactly. And everyone's on vacation and we're running lockup for 48 right. hours.
And the handful
56 hours. Yeah.
And a handful of decent folks who are still there are too terrified for their own jobs to point the camera at their own organization and
right.
say, you know what,
right.
we're the problem.
Yeah.
You know what?
At least we're part of the problem. Yeah. Yeah.
Joe fucking Scarborough is a problem. No one at MSNBC is ever going to say that. No one at MSNBC is ever going to say hiring practices conducted by Phil Griffin and Andy mm-hmm. Lack that keep Joe Scarborough here is a big part of our problem.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's,
right.
and so we don't control our own message. Comcast controls our message.
Yeah.
So Junior Dude and I were talking about the history of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asking about impeachment, like sort of how does that work and you know what happened with Nixon. I said, well, honestly, back then there were things called principled Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy named Lawrence Joseph Hogan, I believe, who was a representative of Maryland's 5th District, who was horrified when he heard his president talking on tape about spying and blackmail and extortion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He said, and I'm quoting him now, the thing that's so appalling to me is that the president, when this whole idea was suggested to him, didn't in righteous indignation rise up and say, get out of here. You're in the office of the president of the United States. How can you talk about blackmail and bribery and keeping witnesses silent? This is the presidency of the United States. My president didn't do that. He sat mm-hmm. there and he worked to try to cover this thing up so it wouldn't come to light. This guy was crying when he said that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Those people do not exist in the Republican Party anymore, anywhere.
Well, you walked into the living room today to tell me about Congressman Trent.
Yeah.
Right? And what did he say again?
Congressman Trent. At the other end of the spectrum, at the other end of the timeline, is Congressman Trent from Arizona, Representative Congressman Trent from Arizona, who said, in essence, sure, if Russia actually hacked voting machines, that'd be bad. We should investigate that. But if all they did was uncover leaked information that was accurate, well, they were just doing what the media should have been doing all along.
Which is to break into somebody's email and steal it. That's what the media should have been doing. Because you know what? The media can start doing that, and they can go after your emails.
No, but that would never happen. He has an R after his name, so that will never happen. But I was trying to explain to Junior Dude that impeachment works when anyone in Washington, a majority, when people in both houses mm-hmm. of Congress are interested in the law. But if you go back to the impeachment of Bill Clinton, the actual impeachment of Bill Clinton, nobody in the Republican Party is interested in the law at all. And this was the 90s.
Yeah.
They were interested in hunting and hounding this guy till they found a reason to get rid of him because they hated him.
Because he was the wrong party. Yeah.
He was the wrong party. Yeah. He was better and smarter than they were. He was doing things they could never do. He was popular. And he was a Democrat, and he had to be destroyed. And that ethos of that, I said today, that Timothy McVeigh rhetoric, the Timothy McVeigh ideology, that the people, the liberals, are the enemies, mm-hmm. and they must be destroyed at any cost, even if it involves lying, cheating, stealing. It doesn't fucking matter because they are so evil that there's nothing that's out of bounds for us to do. Is the ethos of Donald Trump.
I'm going to disagree with you on one thing, and that is I think there's going to be a reckoning in terms of excusing hacking because you liked the results. I do believe that around the world there are hackers there are Elliots from Mr. Robot who
yeah.
will break into the RNC, who will break into, I mean, and we believe that the Russians broke into the RNC and just didn't release it, but there's no proof of that. And I want to be clear that I'm not going to repeat fake news or repeat things that don't have proof to them that I have no proof for and say, well, you know, we know that's true because it has to be. No, I want to make sure that to the best of our ability, we avoid that kind of confirmation bias.
Mm-hmm.
However, I believe in my heart of hearts that there are people in this world who, given the capability to do it, would be happy to hack Fox News's email servers and release everything. Would mm-hmm. be happy to hack Republican congressman's email and release everything. And if you have no morals about that happening to the other guy, and then it happens to you, don't expect any sympathy. I will publish it. I will print it. I will run it. I will comment on it. I will podcast about it, and you will be sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So I do not understand, because I don't think that all of these Republican congressmen are as stupid technologically as Trump. Trump just says, well, we don't know really what happened. These computers are fast, you know.
They're fast. It's complicated, you know. It's really the world's... You know who knows computers?
Standing next to Don King, who, yeah. by the way, said he was carrying the Israeli flag, you know, because Shimon Peres.
Yeah.
Who hasn't been prime minister of Israel since whenever and died in September.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we don't... You know, Drift Glass, I'm sorry to change gears so quickly.
Please.
Here. It just... I said this to Carolee today, that we on the left have been raised not to make fun of stupid people and right. not to put down, not to punch down on trash.
Right. That was a mistake.
You know,
that's been a mistake.
You had a tweet this week that I almost sent to you,
uh-huh.
and it turned out you tweeted it. this happens more than you might know.
Mm-hmm.
Where I go, oh, that's so Drift Glassy, and I should send it to him. Oh, wait, he wrote it.
Arr.
And it was, what the Democratic Party needs is 40 liberals who know how to throw a punch.
Yeah, 40 geniuses.
40 geniuses who know how to throw a punch, and I retweeted you and said, we need 38.
Yes. Well, we have plenty.
Yeah.
And what we need are candidates who will run straight at the Republican Party with a sword in both hands.
Yeah, and you mentioned that that was... the Minnesota Democrat.
Yeah, Paul Wellstone. Paul Wellstone
yeah.
was not ashamed to be a liberal. Paul Wellstone
yep.
wanted to know why the hell you think being a teacher is dishonorable, you scumbag.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
he was really clear about what he believed. And there are plenty of people in the Democratic Party who believe those things. They're simply not allowed to rise to the level of, you know, running the place because yeah. we're very, very busy talking about working with both sides and having both sides and mm-hmm, so on and so mm-hmm. forth. And getting back to the area where you have respectfully disagreed with me about there will come a reckoning, you might be right.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did while doing a bunch of errands and driving around town and so forth over the Christmas holidays, since there's no liberal radio anywhere in my town,
mm-hmm.
I sampled conservative radio.
Oh, no, you didn't.
And they were up and live, and there were substitute hosts here and there, but the shows were on. They were live. They were everywhere. They were, as you know, just it's just another work day.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
let me tell you what they say on conservative radio, Blue Gal.
Oh, no.
You know the problem with these liberals is they don't respect facts.
Oh, yes, you were telling me this, yeah. That there were callers, right?
Yeah, callers who were indignant and outraged. You know, I try to talk to liberals, but they just don't listen to facts no more. You know, they're just a bunch of ignorants who don't listen to facts. How are you going to reason with someone who doesn't believe in facts? Tell me that, Sean. Huh? Tell me that. Well, you know, that's a real problem. I guess that's a real problem. Yes, those darn liberals. And basically, simply to repeat what the conservative talk radio host said in the New York Times, what Charlie Sykes says whenever he gets on MSNBC as a, mm-hmm. you know, an apostate Republican, he's like, yep, we destroyed the referees. We sure as shit did. We brainwashed mm-hmm. all of our people to believe bullshit, mm-hmm. and now they believe bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
What they will never say, what no one from David Brooks to Matthew Dowd to Charlie Sykes will never say is liberals were right and we were wrong. Mm-hmm. They will never go to the back of the line. They will never step away from the microphone. They will never tear up their paycheck and say, you know what? This was my fault and I apologize and walk away from it, because they are hogs at the trough. They will invent a narrative that will keep them at the trough. But right under the surface is a tacit acknowledgement, which you're never allowed to say on television or on the radio, is liberals are right. And if you cruise through conservative radio for any length of time, you will hear one completely brainwashed hillbilly after another completely pissed off at people like me because I don't respect facts. Because mm-hmm. I listen to the fake news on the mainstream press, the drive-by media, and it's supposed to Breitbart. And you know what? That's the truth is on Breitbart. And who can quote you chapter and fucking verse of what's on Breitbart, what Rush said yesterday, and who knows civil rights history right up until 1963, and then something happened and they forget all about it. But they're all the same. Yeah. I mean, really, they're all stamped out of the same mold. And so that's why there will be no reckoning. Because if somebody publishes a giant hacked email account in the New York Times, well, it's the goddamn New York Times, isn't it? But it's fake news, isn't it? They've already built their army. They built it in public in front of everyone. And those of us who are telling people, who are begging them to pay attention, they're building a fifth column inside our country. And by God, there'll be hell to pay. Those people, the people we were begging to pay attention to us, are the first people who need to be moved out of the way. Because, you know, once the tanks were rolling in Norway, the Brits were smart enough to fire the person who was wrong about the Nazis and mm-hmm. hire the guy who was right about the Nazis. But not in this country. The people who were right about the right all along are the ones who were never allowed near the microphone. The ones who were wrong about him all the time are still on the air. Doing just fine. Yep. Thank you very much. Anyway,
I wanted to bring up a letter to the editor in USA Today yesterday, which we don't get at the house, but it was at the hotel where we were staying, and it is right along those lines. Dear USA Today, prior to the election, it seems like USA Today feared mentioning President-elect Donald Trump's many holdings and successes overseas, mm-hmm. preferring to concentrate on his bankruptcies closer to home and other potential scandals. Why is it that, as an avid reader of news, I was never made aware of the potential conflicts of interest with Hillary Clinton
right.
until pointed out by third parties?
Right.
It's ludicrous of the mainstream news media to demand the only viable solution to Trump's international holdings is to separate himself completely, knowing such separation is almost impossible at this point. Somehow the news media think Americans are surprised that Trump is a successful businessman around the globe. The news media are so convinced of past politicians, including the Clintons who got a pass, being bought. The news media are intent on convincing the public that someone should operate without such influence. And I'm not making this up, Driftglass. I mm-hmm. did not write this name down on the piece of paper. I swear to God.
Uh-huh.
Randy Purvis, Mississippi.
Yep.
He's an avid reader of news, but he had to go to third parties.
Yeah, that's right.
To find out how corrupt the Clintons are.
I had to go to the dumpster all the way around the block to find the trash that confirms my ignorance and bigotry. And by God, it tasted delicious. I know people say it's dog shit and it smells like dog shit, but by God, it tasted like fine Belgian chocolate.
Yeah. And so the mainstream media failed him, right. is what happened.
Now,
and so what does USA Today do with a letter like this? They publish it.
Because both.
And what does Jeff Zucker do with this kind of criticism? Well, we're going to put on, you know, Kayleigh McGinty or whatever her name is mm-hmm. to give the Trump side of things.
Two sides, both sides.
And that's the exciting part of dynamic network cable news coverage of politics.
And you decide. You figure it out.
Yeah.
Because I'm too busy to figure out what's true or not. I'm busy counting my money.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, that's where we're at with the news media. Drift Glass, I want to go on. And, you know, I've been thinking all day about whether or not to read from Revelation.
Can I mention
Revival
one thing?
Revival bitch, sure.
Can I mention one anniversary?
Sure.
Because I don't want this to go down the memory hole.
Yeah.
This is the 7th anniversary this month. Mm-hmm. 7 years ago was when Medicare buy-in option and the public option was stripped out of Obamacare.
Yep.
All you people who are bitching, all you Trumpsters who are complaining that you don't get to pick your doctor and the costs are too high and who have legitimate complaints about the way the Affordable Care Act was rolled out because it's glitchy. It's not the system it should be or ever should have been. You almost had a public option.
Yep.
And a Medicare buy-in, which would have solved all your problems.
Or even just a trigger that if the private insurance companies left a market and left a hole where people could not buy coverage with competition, that Medicare would be made available for them to purchase.
Exactly.
That was one of the suggestions, was just a trigger, not Medicare for all, you know, which is socialized medicine,
This was simply a compensatory device built into the legislation that contemplated the fact that insurance companies are for-profit entities and that there should be some actual competition to keep prices low, because that's the whole point. And putting a Medicare option and a public option in
and
there.
A trigger, and, you know, that was the most conservative of the possibilities, which is we will make sure that you have a choice. That's just free market. That's just making sure that you have someone to keep your costs down.
And to pass this cobbled together
2,000-page bill,
required every single Democrat to be on board. Because the Republicans were going to absolutely oppose it across the board, were never going to allow it to pass, and they were going to lockstep to fuck you over, Mr. and Mrs. Trump voter, to screw you. And there are two reasons why you don't have those options available to you today, and they are Ben Nelson and Joe fucking Lieberman.
Right.
Who stabbed the Democratic Party in the back, because that's what Joe Lieberman does.
Yep.
Joe Lieberman gets in like a fucking worm. It's close enough to the center of power to betray you. That's what Joe Lieberman does for a living, and it's a very profitable living. So let us not let this month pass and the Obamacare legacy go into the history books without remembering that it could have been, even though it wasn't single payer, which it should have been, or all those other things, the reason this shitty-ass half measure was passed was because there's no option left for it to get done. Then Harry Reid said, look, you know, these, and it wasn't that they opposed it. They promised to filibuster it. Joe fucking Lieberman was going to filibuster the
healthcare.
The healthcare for people like you and me.
This is our vice presidential candidate.
Yeah, in 2000.
And
this guy was going to promise to filibuster this thing as half-assed as it was, if there were even a possibility that there might be some honest competition built into the legislation. And that's what screwed it up. And if you ever see those people in person, do not hesitate to remind them that they are traitors to their country, traitors to their voters, traitors to the American principle. And I hope they sleep well on the giant pile of money they got by fucking you over. But it wasn't Obama, and it wasn't the Democratic Party, and it wasn't the system. It was weak-ass pussies like this inside the Democratic Party who should have been purged long ago, but weren't, because, frankly, Barack Obama thought he could
win. Needed the votes. Well, he needed the votes in the Senate. I mean,
he gave away perks like candy.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't. Let's not rewrite history on the left to excuse what really happened.
What Joe Lieberman did. Yep.
Anyway.
Oh, then it's perfect to read from Revelation.
Yes,
right?
It is.
We're going to do Bible Bitch.
Bible Bitch.
That's not scriptural.
Revelation is one of two things in my estimation. It is either a dream brought on by drugs, or it is a very carefully crafted, shielded allegory for current politics at the time of its writing.
Beep, beep, beep. Ding, ding, ding. It's exactly what the Jesuits at Loyola University, who I studied with for a few years, would tell you exactly that.
Yep. Which is they're going to hide all of their hatred for the people that could cut their throats if they knew they were writing about this, didn't, because it was about the beast with 10 heads and nobody knew what that meant except the people that wrote it.
Okay. Who knew exactly what it meant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Revelation 13, and I'm going to read verse 5. And verse 9. And this was just pointed out as kind of a joke on Facebook, but I liked it. I liked what they were saying. The beast had a loud mouth, boastful and blasphemous. It could do anything it wanted for 42 months. It was permitted to make war on God's holy people and conquer them. It held absolute sway over all tribes and peoples, tongues and races. Are you listening to this? They've made their bed. Now they must lie in it. Meanwhile, God's holy people passionately and faithfully stand their ground. And the way that is from the Message, the way the King James Version says that ending part is, if any man have an ear, let him hear. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And I wanted to tie that into an article that we put up at Crooks and Liars this week that was a syndicated article written by a Twitter person that you and I both follow, LOLGOP,
yes,
who has a very funny Twitter stream.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote an article called New Year's Resolutions, Turning... I want to get the title right. New Year's Resolutions for Turning Trump into a Loser.
Uh-huh.
And it is 10 things that liberals can do, very specific things,
mm-hmm,
that will help resist Trump. And not just wailing and gnashing of teeth, but really, really practical things. I just want to share a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
Do practical things like make a Google alert for your member of Congress, which I think is a great idea. Anytime your member of Congress is in the news, call his office.
Yep, or her office.
Mm-hmm. And say, look, here's where I stand. I am your constituent. That's very important.
Yes.
Because they care about that,
mm-hmm,
if you are their constituent. And, you know, your position, and lead with your values. I value clean air and clean water. I value, and this is when you make it local, I value what Springfield Clinic does for this community in terms of healthcare and in terms of hiring, in terms of their contribution to the city of Springfield's economy, in terms of the healthcare of the overall region. And if Congressman
Davis,
if Congressman Davis votes to repeal Obamacare with no replacement whatsoever,
to cut the legs out from under Springfield Clinic,
right,
mm-hmm,
right, he will be cutting the legs out of the economy of his own district.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you very much. And
yes,
you know, but get it down that you are a constituent of his, you live in his district, where you, they're going to ask you for that information anyway. And then remind yourself that we don't know how bad this is going to get. Remember things like, and this is something else to talk with people that you think might be vulnerable, people who are going to protest. Remember that the first thing you say when you get arrested is, I want to speak to a lawyer. Don't talk to anybody.
Right.
I mean, there are things that are really important to kind of just have these skills, and you don't know what they are until you need them. But if you know ahead of time, it's really important. I want to speak to a lawyer. That's really important. And don't forget, folks, that Trump is a minority president.
Yeah.
And get outside every once in a while.
Yeah.
Get outside. Get away from Twitter. Take care of yourself. So, I mean, those, all of these things, this was an article in the National Memo that was also printed at Crooks and Liars. And I just think it had some really good advice for how to resist. And I think about that in terms of both patience and faith.
Yeah.
And faith in ourselves, faith in our country, faith in the future. It's going to require calm, but also persistence.
Yes, indeed.
We have, you know, I think we've been kind of depressing in this podcast a little bit about how much is up, what we're up against. But I'm not depressed anymore. I'm really not. I'm pissed and I'm ready.
Which is why next week we'll be getting The Adventures of the Cornfield Resistance.
Oh, stop.
Brought to you by MacGuffin's Muffins. MacGuffin's Muffins. Building strong plot points 12 ways. And this is a week when we saw the passing of Carrie Fisher and her mother, Debbie Reynolds, at the same time. So we want to mark this date and just sort of say this is the week we're recording this. And we it's just incredibly sad. But if you haven't seen, if you haven't read anything by Carrie Fisher, read her stuff.
Yeah.
She's honest and wise and funny and a terrific human being from a terrific mom. And our hearts go out to all the people who are in their circle who are grieving especially hard today.
Yeah. Although everyone online who knew them personally, behind the grief is cracking up because the two of them in heaven together is the vision of that. Whether you believe that that's actually how that is the picture that we put in our minds, right, is Pearly Gates. We just do that. So regardless, the vision and the image in your mind of Debbie showing up 24 hours after Carrie gets there, like, oh, mom. You know?
Mom.
Well, I couldn't let you come up here by yourself. You
mom.
Know? And seriously, the people who knew them personally, who have come out on the record about, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, I'm sad. Yeah, it's a tragedy. Yeah, you know, Carrie dying at 60 is just way too young.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie at 83 is, you know, that's a good run. That's a good run for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they went together is somehow so fitting that, you know, it's you're sad, but at the same time, you're kind of knowing, yeah, okay. So.
Yeah.
All righty. Thank you very much, Drift Glass. Happy New Year. I love you.
I love you, too.
We're gonna keep on keeping on. And we have our 7-year podcast anniversary coming up in 2 weeks. We'll have to think of something special to do for that.
Now let's go take a cat to the vet.
Yay. Each week, we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. We have two internet kitties this week. Perfect names for this week. Their names are Fresh Air and Sunshine. Fresh Air is a tuxedo cat and Sunshine is all black. They came to live in the house where they are at a time when people's mother-in-laws were passing and a cat had to be put down and there was just sadness in the house. And here came these two former barn cats to move in, and they were Fresh Air and Sunshine for the whole house.
Mm-hmm.
And they live indoors full time now.
Yeah.
And they are clearly registered snugglers.
Yes.
And they're beautiful kitties. And Fresh Air and Sunshine are welcome to our Facebook page and website. We thank you so much for sending them in. And you can send your internet kitty to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Drift Glass, one of our listeners sent us a picture of her new grandbaby.
It was
cuteness personified.
I know.
Thank you for that. That was a wonderful thing to see. And we appreciate you sharing your lives with us. Wow. But that was one cute baby. It's rare I see a baby as cute as my own babies were.
Mm-hmm.
And this baby sure was cute. Well, be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions! Letter on the air, unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, do buy one for us. Don't forget our Amazon link at our website. We believe in buying local, and we also believe in shopping Amazon with our link if your alternative is a big box store. If you got Amazon gift cards for Christmas, go to our website first, click on the Amazon link, and pay with a gift card. I think we still get a percentage of that, how you pay.
I think we do.
Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, professionalleft.blogspot.com, for details. Both our PayPal and postal address information is there at professionalleft.blogspot.com. Please rate our show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, and thank you for doing that. Hey, Drift Glass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
The Internet Kitties want to wish everyone a Happy New Year. Goodbye, shitty old 2016. Hello, 1953.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Let's think about loving.
Think about loving.
Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying. Think about
Left podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license, copyright 2016, Driftglass Blue Gal Podcast.